Happy Easter to all of you, and a special welcome to the guests here today. It's a great day to be visiting because this is the most important day in the Christian life. Greater even than Christmas is the feast of Easter. Because without the resurrection, nothing else has meaning in Christianity. Bishop Barron once said that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then priests and bishops should just go home and get an honest job. And he said that you, the faithful, should be looked at as crazy for your profession of a faith such as that. And in some sense, he's echoing what was said 2,000 years earlier by St. Paul, when he said, if Christ did not rise, then our preaching is in vain, and we are the most pitiable of people. We could also say, in the light of the events of this past week, that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then the Cathedral of Notre Dame is nothing but another old museum, like the Louvre or the British Museum of Natural History. And yet in the response in these last few days, we see that people intuit that that's not true, that there is something much more here. And that's why it's unprecedented, the amount of money that has come in, over $1 billion, to rebuild that Cathedral of Notre Dame. As I mentioned on Holy Thursday, I believe that the Lord placed the timing of it as he did at the beginning of Holy Week in order to reveal to us some things. And I think he's revealing the heart, his heart, and the way he looks at our church, and also what he wants to see. I think as we watch those pictures coming out of Paris on Monday, there's probably not one among us whose heart didn't drop as we saw the flame shooting through the roof of Notre Dame, that beautiful basilica, that beautiful cathedral. And we knew, in a sense, we were losing something here, that we might lose completely. And maybe it dawned on us again just what a beautiful treasure that is to humanity. Then I think it hurt us to watch that happening. And I think the Lord allowed that because he wants us to see what it is when he looks down upon his church and sees it scarred by the fire of sin, the beauty marred that was once there. What is it? What is this fire? We can say, you know, over the last number of years, one of the major things has been the scandals, the clergy abuse scandals and the bishops who were involved. That has marred the beauty of the church. But it also goes back farther than that. It goes back, as the Lord looks down, to the loss of Christian morality over the last couple of generations, a whole-scale rejection of what had been passed on century after century after century, generation after generation, rejected now. And the Catholic Christians going right along with much of what has been happening, not appearing any different from those who have rejected the faith. And the great apostasies, you know, the greatest number of people falling away from the faith in history in the last couple of generations in the West. And the Lord looks down and it breaks his heart the way it broke our heart as we looked at Notre Dame in flames. And he wants us to see that this is what he sees. But I said he also shows us something in the days following that he wants to see from us now. Notice what the response was not when Notre Dame burned. It was not, oh, look, that fire has made everything ugly. I don't want anything to do with that cathedral anymore. Oh, look how marred everything is. I don't even want to be associated with Notre Dame. I want to get away from it. That was not the response. The response was the opposite, a running towards that church, not away from it. Because the people remembered the beauty and the glory of that church. The firefighters were told, rushed in and made themselves almost a wall. They said they risked their lives in order to save Notre Dame. They would risk their lives for that building. So much did they appreciate the beauty and the goodness of that church. And so many now have sacrificed, from billionaires down to the humblest workers, sending their donations in because they want to rebuild that church. And that for a church of stone and brick. And the Lord looks down and says, you'll do this for a church of stone and brick, but what about my church? What will you do when she's in flames and marred? Will you rebuild her? Rebuild my church. The whole world's been galvanized towards Notre Dame, and that's a beautiful and wonderful thing. But it's an image of what the Lord wants for his church, that we be galvanized to rebuild his church. This is his church. He built it. Just a few moments ago, he sang in that Psalm 118, the prophecy about the church and how it would be built. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's what the psalmist was talking about. He's predicting the coming of Christ as the cornerstone. St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians says, Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is what God is building his church upon. Matthew 16:18 says that Jesus said to Peter, you are the rock. You will be a foundation stone. You will be the foundation stone built upon me, the cornerstone. And the book of Revelation tells us that if you look at the base of the wall, the foundation stones, there are 12. And on them are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. What did it cost God to build this church? It didn't cost simply a few billion dollars. It cost him blood and sweat and tears. Literal blood and sweat and tears. We've just walked with the Lord through his passion these last couple of days. We've seen what that prophecy meant, that the stone would be rejected. And today we see what it meant when it said it would become the cornerstone. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and upon him was planted the church, upon the apostles. That is what we rebuild upon Jesus and the apostles. And so when we look at our life, we have to ask ourselves, are we building on that foundation? Because we're not, then we're building on something that is going to fall away. If we guide our life by the worldview of the media, or the education establishment, or the political class, or anything other than Jesus Christ and his apostles, then we build on sand, and it too will be burned up. The Lord makes clear that it's only upon him and the apostles, the word of God, sacred tradition. And so today the Lord tells us, rebuild my church. Be galvanized. What does that look like in our own personal lives? Well, it looks like something very difficult, just like Notre Dame is going to be very difficult. Notre Dame's also going to be very complex. They say the architectural feats are going to be needed. Some of them have been lost to history. They don't know exactly how they can do it. At least our rebuilding of the church isn't so complex. It's actually very, very simple. But it is just as difficult. Because I think if we are quiet with ourselves for a bit, we'll hear and we know what the Lord wants us to do, what his word is for us each. Because we're living stones, they're all different. I can't give you one general message. God has a specific purpose, a word to you right now. Maybe it's something that he's been returning. Maybe it's that decision that I want to bring my family, I'm going to make that a priority, to bring my family to the Mass every Lord's Day. Or maybe I'm finally going to put my time into those relationships that I know are drawing me closer to the Lord, instead of those that alienate me from my own soul. Maybe it's something in my family life that the Lord's been putting on my heart that I know I need to do, and I haven't been doing it. We already know what we're supposed to be doing. But are we galvanized to do it? Does our heart burn for the church the way God's heart burns for his church? There's one last kind of warning from the story of Notre Dame. And that is that the firefighters say that they were within minutes of losing the entire structure. That had they not been able to contain it, probably within 15 minutes, the entire thing would have been destroyed. And they also say that part of the problem, they think, lies in the fact that Notre Dame had fallen into disrepair. But it was an argument between the church and the government about whose responsibility it was to upkeep it. Wow. There's a lesson to us there. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much we can keep putting off that word that God has put on our heart. And we don't know the effect it's going to have on us or on those that we love. We don't know how close we might be to losing that structure in a sense. And so today, the promise is that when we rebuild the church, we don't rebuild it alone. Jesus is risen. Jesus is fighting for his church. Jesus is fighting for your soul. And he'll give us the grace and the strength to fulfill whatever it is that he's put on our heart to fulfill. And so today, the great news of Easter is that Jesus Christ is risen, that the stone remains standing, that despite all the fire and the troubles and the marring of the church, the foundation is strong and secure, because the foundation is Jesus Christ, risen from the dead.